My name's Bronson Hermuth, coming to you from the Parlor Studio on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. And today I have the distinct honor of interviewing Pam Gadd. Hello, Pam.
Hey there. How you doing, Bronson?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for inviting me.
I really appreciate you giving me an interview.
Very thoughtful. Thank you.
All right. So you are a Kentucky girl.
Yes.
Born in?
Born in Northern Kentucky, Fort Thomas, up near Cincinnati, just across the river, really. I grew up in Northern Kentucky.
When did you start playing professionally? How old were you when you actually did your first gig professionally, where you got paid to play?
We opened for the Statler Brothers.
And who's we?
The Papa Tones. And I was a special guest. What a sweet memory. It was up in McConnellsville, Ohio. Wally, I don't remember his last name. He was my neighbor. And he was my friend. My friend Scott Cooper was my buddy in the sixth grade, and he lived in the neighborhood there with Wally. And so I guess Scott told Wally that I sang, you know. And I was young. Now, I think I was 16 when I got my first check to ever play. I'm guessing it was around 1976 or 77. So I didn't say, now you know how old I am. And I opened for the Statler Brothers, and I came out and sang. Well, it was the Papa Tones, and then they were the band that opened, and then I was just a special guest. And I played banjo and then came out with my long dress on and sang. I don't remember what I sang, but I think I made $75 or something. It was really exciting. I remember thinking, this is the first time I've ever made money playing.
Right.
It was such a big deal.
Oh, I'll bet it was a big deal.
What about you? How old were you?
Well, my first time I played for money, I was 7.
Oh, you actually made money?
Yeah, I did. I got my share of the tips, of the tip jar.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Well, now I may have made some tips at the Fireman's Picnic. I don't think I did, though. I think I've just played free up in it. Let's see, at the Independence Fireman's Picnic, I played with Mark Cormican and Mike Riley, and we were called East of Denver, and we did all John Denver songs. And I think we were really good. Now, looking back, I don't know if we were or not. But we thought we sounded really good, you know, our harmonies. The two men, and then I was the female vocalist. And then we did, like, Fly Away. That was back when John Denver was really big. And I was just learning banjo. And so I was trying to play, like, I was trying to claw hammer, but I couldn't. So I'd kind of roll, you know, not only been playing a couple years, but I loved John Denver, and then John Denver came to Cincinnati, and he was really, I would venture to say, the best entertainer I ever, well, I want to say the best entertainer I ever saw, because he was so personable with the audience. He was so, I never forgot that, you know, and I think that made an impression on me big time as when I became an entertainer. I just always loved that warmth and talking to people like they're your best friend. I mean, because that, I was always more comfortable on stage than off once I got over my nervousness. When I got older, it was like, gosh, I was kind of a nervous wreck preparing for sessions or whatever. But if you could get me on stage, then I just liked everybody and I'd just talk, you know. And so that kind of really became a gift to be able to be at ease on stage, you know. But John Denver sat down and hung his legs over the stage and put, you know, the band all left. and he's sitting, it was like 1976. And he's sitting there with his legs hanging over the stage and just, God, it makes me want to cry because he was so nice. And he was on the first rotating stage I've ever seen, where that at some point of the night, every single person in the audience could see him and the band, you know. But it went really slowly. How they didn't tangle their cords up, I don't know. I can't figure that out. But he was just really down to earth, you know. And he and Emmy Lou became really big inspirations to me.
The Muddy River Band.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the Muddy River Band.
Well, that was my first really professional chance to get out and play. Ron Murphy was looking for a banjo player, and he and his wife Laura lived up in Spring Valley, Ohio, and they played all over the Ohio Valley area, the tri-state area in Indiana and Kentucky and Ohio. And I'd heard of the Muddy River Band. They were pretty popular in that area. And I'd been playing at that point, I think, five years. I had been playing banjo for 5 years. And so they were looking for a picker, and I thought, I called them, you know, and just Taylor Farley had left. And I love Taylor. He was a really creative player, a friend of mine. He's passed away since then. But so Taylor had left, and So I went up there and just, you know, drove up to Spring Valley and met Ron and Laura and sat down and played with them. And I played real hard driving. I really played it like a machine gun. I really dug in. I was really intense. Real hard driving player. And Vernon McIntyre had worked with me and taught me all my backup. And Jeff Roberts had taught me how to pick. And Jeff was a really good Scruggs player. So I had a really good foundation. And then Vernon showed me all that, you know, dun, 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 and all the Scruggs, all that backup. He made me learn all those traditional songs and to play it exactly like Earl, you know. And then I met Earl. I got to meet Earl at that same time, about the same time I was with Muddy River. Earl Scruggs and the Review came to town and played at Bogart's in Cincinnati. And I went up to him and I was kind of shy at the end of the night. I thought, I got to meet Earl Scruggs. Did you ever meet Earl Scruggs?
I've never met Earl. I've been in rooms where Earl was there, but I've never actually met
him.
Earl.
No. Well, he was like the, you know, the king. And so, like, I go up to him and I shake his hand and I say, hello, sir. You know, I'm Pam Gadd. I just love your playing. He goes, "You." I think I said I play too. And I am really, really backward about meeting people. I've never been forward at pitching my songs. I have never pitched stuff. I've had so many opportunities, but I don't want to bother anybody. But I don't know what gave me nerve to meet him. I think I had to, because he was my hero, my banjo hero. And so he goes, "Well, pick me one." And Daddy always told me to carry my picks in my pocket. So I had my picks in my pocket. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, I felt, oh, no. But, of course, you learn to fake it. You're scared to death. So he goes, "Well, here, pick me one." And he just yanks his banjo off of his shoulder and hands me his banjo. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I pang it on me. And I think it fit pretty good. You know, I put it around my head. I think he always hung it on his shoulder. Because their hats on the gospel tune, they always, I don't know, I think that they told me later that these banjo pickers would always wear it on their shoulder because they had to take it on and off, you know. And they all wore these hats. And then they all had these horrible shoulders because I put it around my shoulders like a girl and I fire into Cripple Creek or something, you know. And he started smiling real big and he goes, "Well, that's real good." And he goes, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And I said, "Nothing." And he goes, "I'm staying across the river there at the Quality Inn." And he goes, "If you want to, bring your banjo and come over. We'll go out on the bus and pick some." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so he said, "Call me in the morning." So at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm up. I still live with Mom and Daddy. I'm sitting there with my banjo playing the Live at Carnegie Hall album, you know. God, I thought, I gotta make a good impression. But I went over and hung out with Earl Scruggs on the bus all afternoon, and nobody came in there. It was just a dream. It was a highlight of my life.
Wow.
Really, it really was I was on cloud nine. And we just sat out there on the bus, and he said, "Well, now here's a Benny Goodman lick that I learned. It was a clarinet lick that I learned from Benny Goodman." And he showed me how to do it, you know, and then I go, "Well, am I doing this right? Well, is this right?" And then, like, he played, like, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, and he hammered, I believe, with his index finger. Dung, dung, da 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 dung, dung. And I was like, "Oh, you don't use your thumb, you know? I think the book says use your thumb, you know?" And I just, like, nitpicking and asking him all these questions, and it was just so fun. And he was so nice. He didn't at all hit on me or anything. You know, you hear stories about thinking that might be why he invited, but it was absolutely a musical, just a friendship. And I had a gig that night at Steve's Pub in Walton, Kentucky with the Muddy River Band, and I just floated in. I was floating all night long. And I don't have a picture with Earl, but that was a highlight of my life. And Muddy River really gave me a great opportunity to learn how to play on stage, you know. And we played all these bluegrass festivals with all these heroes that I'd grown up listening to, the Osborne Brothers and J.D. Crow and the New South and Ralph Stanley. I got to know all these guys because we would play these festivals, you know. And you could just stand there. And I remember asking Don Reno, how does he play the beginning of "I Know You're Married, But I Love You Still"? You know, he did that. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, you just do this." And, you know, and so you became, bluegrass was so down home and friendly. You just got to know all the pickers. And Eddie Adcock, I got to meet all these players in these prime, in their years of, they had been such prime players, you know, and were still out on the circuit. And I'm telling you now, there really is just nothing that could replace that, getting to know these people and get to hear them play. When Keith Whitley was with JD, you know, I used to go, we'd do festivals together, you know, and I'd go sit down front and watch Keith sing. And he was like, he was about 24 years old or something. He was pretty darn young, you know. He'd left Ralph. And so I really had some good inspiration, you know. I got to kind of cut my teeth on Charlie Waller and the Country Gentlemen, and again, Bobby and Sonny Osborne, my heroes, you know, and these are just wonderful, wonderful memories, you know.